Welcome, everybody, to History Analyzed. I'm your host, Mark Palmer. This is a podcast which examines historical events and issues. The event we're analyzing today is one of the most tragic episodes in human history, the Black Death. Throughout history, people have contemplated the end of the world. Even in modern times, people have speculated how the world might end. Nuclear holocaust, climate change, an incurable pandemic, or maybe a giant asteroid like the kind that wiped out the dinosaurs. Imagine being alive in a time when people seriously thought they were actually living through the end of mankind. And I'm not talking about hysterical neurotics on the fringes. I'm talking about rational people justifiably thinking, this is it, the apocalypse. That's what it was like to live in Europe between 1347 and 1351. During that four-year span, the Black Death killed approximately half of all of Europe. In hindsight, we know that the Black Death eventually ended and that approximately half of Europe survived. But if you were living during those times, you didn't know that the Black Death would end. You had to think that the plague was just going to kill everybody. It was an incurable disease that was rapidly killing what seemed like everybody around you. You had to think there would soon be no people left on Earth. Doomsday. There have been other pandemics throughout history. Obviously, COVID-19 is a recent pandemic, and there have been others that have been devastating to entire populations. An easy example is when European diseases wiped out approximately 90% of the Native Americans throughout the Western Hemisphere. There were many European diseases which killed the Native Americans, including measles and influenza, but by far the biggest killer was smallpox. Today, we are analyzing the pandemic which ravaged Europe, Asia, and North Africa. In this episode, I will be concentrating on Europe because most of our sources regarding this plague are from the Europeans. As far as we know, this particular plague did not reach sub-Saharan Africa. Nevertheless, the sweeping disease did destroy the populations of North Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, along with Europe. So what do we mean by that term, the Black Death? Essentially, it was a form of bubonic plague that devastated Europe in the mid-1300s. I'll explain later that there were variations of the plague in addition to the bubonic plague, but that was the core of the epidemic. The Black Death started in Europe in 1347 and ended around 1351. The end date of the Black Death is somewhat in dispute depending upon how you define the boundaries of Europe. Some think of the Black Death as lasting for 4 years and ending in 1351, but some scholars argue that the true ending date is 1353. It appears that most scholars settle on 1351 as the end of this scourge. So for today's episode, I'm simply saying that the Black Death lasted somewhere approximately 4 years in Europe. I told you earlier that the Black Death was basically the bubonic plague. Of course, that raises the question of, what is the bubonic plague? It is a bacterial disease that is the most common form of plague in human beings. The symptoms are fever, headache, chills, overall weakness, black patches on the skin, coughing up blood, and the formation of buboes, which is how it gets its name. And of course, the worst symptom, death. Okay, one more definition. What are buboes? A bubo is a swollen, inflamed lymph node in the armpit or the groin. They would swell up to about the size of an egg, and they would turn black, which gave the pandemic of the 1300s its name. While listening to this episode, please bear in mind, I have degrees in history and law, but I have no background in medicine or science. I am out of my element there. So I will not go into the medical issues too deeply because I only know what I have read, and it is a very cursory knowledge on the science and medical details. Record keeping in the 1300s was nothing compared to today, so we have a lot of estimates and guesswork when it comes to the Black Death. The mortality rate and the total number of deaths are mere estimates. We do not know how many died as a result of the Black Death in Asia, the Middle East, or Africa. But for Europe, I've read estimates ranging between 30 and 60% of the population. Obviously, that's a very wide range when calculating a mortality rate. In my opinion, the estimate of somewhere around half of the people of Europe dying in approximately 4 years is probably the closest to being accurate. Think about how insane that number is. Try to imagine everybody you know. Family members, distant relatives, friends, coworkers, neighbors. Imagine if in a 4 year period, half of everybody you knew died. Try to envision walking around your town or city and half of all of the homes are suddenly empty. It's incomprehensible. To put that total number into perspective, let's think of it this way. The current population of the United States is approximately 332 million people. What would happen if 166 million Americans died within about 4 years' time? How would people function? How could society go on? It's estimated that the population of Europe just before the Black Death hit Europe was approximately 80 million. If that figure is anywhere close to accurate, that means about 40 million people died between 1347 and 1351. And cities were hit harder than small towns in the countryside. There are estimates that the death rate in cities like London and Venice were well over 60%. When people thought that this was the end of the world, they seemed to be right. Wouldn't you think that? This was the one time in history when a large part of the population, perhaps a majority, thought it was truly the end of mankind, and they were justified in that belief. A disease sweeps into your city or town, and just about everybody you know starts to drop dead. This was an incurable disease that killed people usually within 2 or 3 days of the onset of symptoms. And some people died quicker than that. There were reports of people waking up feeling fine and dying before they went to bed that night. There are various estimates for the mortality rate of the people who actually contracted the Black Death. Earlier, when I said about half of all of Europe died, that is talking about the population in general. Now I'm talking about the people who actually caught the disease. What was the mortality rate among those people? But it appears that somewhere between 80 and 95% of the people who contracted the Black Death died. Imagine the sheer terror. I mentioned a few minutes ago that I have no background in science or medicine, but the average person of the 21st century knows much more than the purported doctors of the 1300s. They had no idea what was causing this pandemic. They had no idea how to treat it or to prevent it. According to the National Institutes of Health, a department of the U.S. government, the existence of microscopic organisms was discovered during the period 1665 to 1683 by two fellows of the Royal Society, Robert Hooke and Antoni van Leeuwenhoek. This would be over 300 years after the Black Death. Also, according to the National Institutes of Health, it was not until the late 1800s that German scientist Robert Koch made the discoveries that led Louis Pasteur to describe how small organisms called germs could invade the body and cause disease. The one thing that medieval Europeans understood was that you somehow caught an illness from an infected person, and so it was best to stay away from them. That is why the Europeans used quarantines. It's hard to find a fun fact in this gruesome episode, but here is one. The term quarantine comes from the Italians of the 1300s. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the practice of quarantine, as we know it, began during the 14th century in an effort to protect coastal cities from plague epidemics. Ships arriving in Venice from infected ports were required to sit at anchor for 40 days before landing. This practice, called quarantine, was derived from the Italian words 40 giorni, which means 40 days. During the Black Death, Europeans used quarantines, but it was too late. The Black Death had already reached Europe. During the time that the pandemic was killing about half of Europe, people did not call it the Black Death. They mostly referred to it as the Great Pestilence, or the Great Mortality, or sometimes simply the Plague. It wasn't until the 1500s that European writers started referencing it as the Black Death, and that term caught on. We don't know exactly where, but the Black Death started somewhere in Asia. China, Mongolia, and India have all been suggested. Eventually, it passed through the Mongol Empire to the Black Sea. Although we don't have many details about how the plague reached the Black Sea, historians are fairly confident that this was the launching point for the pandemic to reach Europe. In the 1200s, shipping merchants from the Italian city of Genoa established the town of Kaffa on the Crimea Peninsula in the Black Sea. That city is now known as Feodosia, Ukraine. In the early to mid-1300s, the Genoese, meaning people from Genoa, got into various disputes with the Mongols who controlled the area. I'm skipping over a lot of parts of the story because they are not essential to today's episode. But eventually, the Mongols established a siege of Kaffa. It wasn't the most effective siege since the city of Kaffa was on the coast of the Black Sea and the Genoese merchants were able to move supplies in and out of the city by ships. The key point for today's episode is that the Black Death reached the Mongols while they were besieging Kaffa. At some point in 1346, the commander of the Mongol forces decided to launch some of their dead bodies into the city of Kaffa by catapults. I know this seems like something from a comedy movie, but purportedly, this is what actually happened. This is often called the first known incident of biological warfare. It's unclear if the Mongols knew that this would spread the plague into the city, or they were just trying to frighten the Genoese defenders with these grotesque corpses. In any event, the dead bodies sent by catapults over the walls into the city brought the Black Death to the people of Kaffa. In the fall of 1347, a ship reached the port city of Messina on the northeast corner of the island of Sicily. All of the sailors aboard the ship were dead or dying. The ship had come from Kaffa. When they saw that the sailors were all suffering from some horrible disease, the authorities of Messina ordered the ship back out to sea. But it was too late. The plague had entered Sicily. We now know that the plague was transferred by fleas that were carried by rats. These fleas bit people and transmitted the plague to human beings. Even though the ship with the dying sailors was sent away from Messina, the rats carrying the infected fleas had already gotten to the shore. And the dead bodies that were catapulted into Kaffa carried infected fleas, and that's what spread the disease. And although it's a fascinating story about the first incident of biological warfare, even if the bodies had not been catapulted into the besieged city of Kaffa, scientists and medical experts believe that the plague would have entered the city anyway, since the rats most likely would have somehow found their way into the city. The fleas with the Black Death would have gotten to the people of Kaffa one way or another. Once it reached Messina, the Black Death quickly spread across the entire island of Sicily. It also crossed the Strait of Messina to the Italian mainland. That strait's only about 2 miles wide, and a lot of small boats went back and forth between that part of Italy, known as Calabria, and the island of Sicily. The plague was now on mainland Europe, but it did not simply spread from Italy to the rest of Europe. Other ships which had left Kaffa landed in other ports along the southern coast of France and what is now Spain, as well as other ports in Italy. The plague quickly spread in a clockwise direction from Italy through Spain and France and into Northern Europe. The Black Death reached the British Isles in 1348. Most experts now believe the Black Death was not limited to bubonic plague. The Black Death also included pneumonic plague. And to complicate matters, some experts claim that the Black Death also involved septicemic plague. Since I have no expertise in this field, I will give you the information from the Centers for Disease Control of the United States, the CDC. Quote, plague is an infectious disease that affects animals and humans. It is caused by the bacterium Yersinia pestis. That bacterium is found in rodents and their fleas. Pneumonic plague occurs when Yersinia pestis infects the lungs. This type of plague can spread from person to person through the air. Bubonic plague is the most common form of plague. This occurs when an infected flea bites a person or when materials contaminated with Yersinia pestis enter through a break in the person's skin. Bubonic plague does not spread from person to person. Septicemic plague occurs when the plague bacteria multiply in the blood. It can be a complication of pneumonic or bubonic plague, or it can occur by itself. When it occurs alone, it is caused in the same way as bubonic plague. However, buboes do not develop. Septicemic plague does not spread from person to person, end quote. This is not just an academic exercise. The mortality rates were different. Earlier, I explained how the overall death rate of people who contracted the Black Death was somewhere between 80 and 95%. The death rate was different based upon what type of plague a person caught. With bubonic plague, the death rate was approximately 80%. For the unfortunates who caught pneumonic plague, there was a mortality rate of 90 to 95%. And septicemic plague may have been the rarest of the three forms of the plague, but if it did occur during the Black Death, it had a mortality rate close to 100%. In essence, the main way that the plague spread was by the fleas on rats, but the variant of pneumonic plague could have been spread by breathing in close proximity to an infected person. And for a further complication, some scholars also believe that anthrax was somehow part of the Black Death. One of the more interesting accounts about the Black Death involved the papacy. As you're listening to this, you expect me to talk about how the pandemic reached Rome. The plague did reach Rome, but that was not the seat of the papacy at that time. There was a period in the 1300s when the head of the Catholic Church was situated in Avignon, France. This is a long and fascinating story which I cannot get into detail in this episode, but here's the basic outline. In the late 1200s and early 1300s, Pope Boniface VIII got into several disputes with the King of France. That king was named Philip IV, but also had the wonderful nickname Philip the Fair. The Pope and the French king had a major dispute as to who was the higher authority. When the Pope threatened to excommunicate the French king and to even hold a council to decide whether or not Philip the Fair had the right to be the King of France, the French king had had enough and had people kidnap the Pope. He was only held for a few days, but the Pope got the point. Do not mess with Philip the Fair. Boniface VIII died about a month later. The leadership of the Catholic Church had also gotten the message and wanted to placate the French king. So they elected a Pope who was agreeable to the French king. But that Pope died after only 8 months. Then they decided to really make the French king happy by electing a Frenchman as Pope. The new Pope took the name Pope Clement V. Pope Clement V moved the papacy from Rome to Avignon, France. That's a town in the south of France along the Rhone River, about 60 miles or so northwest of the coastal town of Marseille. Seven successive popes resided in Avignon in the 1300s. Not surprisingly, all seven of those popes were French. Towards the end of the 1300s, there was a big mess in the Catholic Church called the Western Schism, when bishops residing in Rome and Avignon both claimed to be the true pope. At one point, there was even a third pope located in Pisa. Yeah, that's the town in Italy that has the Leaning Tower. This was finally resolved in the early 1400s when the papacy permanently returned to Rome with only one pope at a time. After that long detour into the history of the Avignon papacy, let's explore what happened with the pope and the Black Death. The Black Death arrived in Europe during the middle of the Avignon papacy. The pope at that time was Clement VI. This was not the same pope that moved the papacy to the south of France. That was Clement V. I know. It gets very confusing when so many popes have the same name and you just have to keep track of the Roman numerals. Pope Clement VI asked some supposed experts what was causing the Black Death. Their answer was that the plague was a result of the conjunction of Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars. In case you're unfamiliar with that term, in astronomy, a conjunction is when two or more astronomical objects, such as planets, stars, asteroids, appear to be close together in the sky as observed from Earth. I guess if you had not heard of viruses, germs, or bacteria, this was as good as an explanation of this plague as any. The Pope's experts thought that the conjunction of those three planets was causing miasma, meaning bad air. The Pope's physicians, if you could call them physicians, advised the Pope that he should surround himself with fire. The fire would purify the bad air. So when in the papal office, the Pope was surrounded by indoor fire pits with roaring fires even in the summer. There's a theory today that the intense heat of the fires surrounding the Pope kept the rats away from him so he was not bitten by the infected fleas. Whether that theory was right or he simply had good luck, the Pope never caught the Black Death. As the pandemic ravaged Europe, towns ran out of burial grounds and cemeteries. So towns and cities all across Europe used mass graves. They simply dug large pits and threw the bodies in together, stacking them up on top of each other. In southern France, the Pope solved the problem of trying to find places to bury so many dead bodies in such a short time. The Pope consecrated the entire Rhone River so that it would be considered holy ground. After that, instead of burying people, the bodies were simply thrown into the Rhone River. There are a lot of different theories as to what was causing the pandemic. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, the Pope's scientific experts thought that the conjunction of Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn caused miasmas, or bad air. A lot of doctors and scientists throughout Europe attributed the plague to miasmas. They did not know whether the bad air was caused by the alignment of the planets or some other reason, but they did believe that the Black Death was the result of bad air. If you've ever seen those drawings and paintings from the time of the Black Death, they showed doctors wearing masks that looked like the face of a bird with a giant beak. There was a reason for those masks with the bird beaks. One of the theories was that you could eliminate the bad air by smelling good air. So the doctors would put sweet-smelling items, usually flowers, in the beak of the mask. The theory was that the person wearing the bird beak mask would breathe in good air with the scent of flowers. Although there is a lot of debate about this, some historians believe that the children's song, "Ring Around the Rosy," is from the Black Death. The pocket full of posies is because people tried to keep flowers around them to combat the miasma, or bad air. And the line, "Ashes, ashes, we all fall down," is referencing the burning of the houses of some of the people who died from the plague, and the incredible percentage of people literally dropping dead from the plague. Is "Ring Around the Rosy" a reference to the Black Death? It certainly seems plausible. As Europe grappled with the causes of the Black Death, some people looked for scapegoats. And if you have ever read any European history, you know that the easy scapegoats tended to be the Jews. In Central Europe, the rumor started that the Jews were poisoning the wells. It didn't matter that Jews were dying in the same numbers and proportions as Christians. Why let any facts or rational thought get in the way of a good pogrom? To obtain evidence that Jews were indeed poisoning the wells, authorities in towns and cities of Central Europe grabbed whichever Jews they could find and got them to confess. Of course they confessed. They were tortured. Have you ever read anything about medieval torture? They had all kinds of horrible ways to torture people in those days. One of the most popular torture tools was the rack. The victim was put on a wooden structure, and the torturer would turn a crank, which would stretch ropes, pulling the wrists in one direction and the ankles in another direction, stretching the limbs beyond the breaking point. Another favored torture device was the thumbscrew. It's actually a misnomer. It was really a vise. The unfortunate person's thumbs were placed into a small vise, which was tightened until they crushed the thumbs. And some of the simple tortures were just pressing a red-hot poker into different parts of exposed flesh. I don't need to go on. You get the picture. People would confess to anything under this type of torture. These so-called confessions were used as an excuse to round up Jews and kill them. We don't know how many Jews were killed, but it was certainly in the thousands. In one horrific event, approximately 2,000 Jews were burned alive. That's right, you heard me. Burned alive on February 14, 1349 in Strasbourg. And the plague hadn't even reached Strasbourg yet. By the end of the Black Death in 1351, an estimated 150 to 200 entire Jewish communities throughout Europe had been completely wiped out. A large number of people in medieval Europe simply thought that the Black Death was the wrath of God. People had pissed off God, and he had sent this plague as divine retribution. This resulted in a lot of people trying to lead a more holy lifestyle. But some people took this idea to the extreme. They were known as the flagellants. They wanted to appease God so he would end the Black Death. These religious zealots thought that the best way to atone for their sins and the sins of Europe in general was by punishing themselves. They got their name because they would literally flagellate themselves. This meant whipping themselves in public displays of repentance. They went from town to town. They would march into the center of town and then put on their ritual. They would flog their bare backs with ropes that often contained sharp pieces of metal at the end to cause more bleeding and more suffering. Initially, government authorities and the papacy did not know what to do about the flagellants. For a while, the flagellants were very popular with the masses who thought that maybe these religious fanatics could save mankind from complete extermination at the hands of a vengeful God. Once people realized that the supposed wrath of God, meaning the pandemic, was not subsiding, the popularity of the flagellants waned. It was then that the Pope condemned the flagellants movement as heresy. On the opposite extreme was a rise of hedonism. There are many accounts throughout Europe of people looking around and seeing everybody dying and thinking this was the end of the world, so they might as well have as much fun as they could before they died. This meant excessive drinking, eating, looting rich people's homes, sex parties, and general debauchery. Besides the sheer terror of losing approximately one half of the population in about 4 years, the Black Death also had a major impact on the economics of Europe in the mid-1300s. People in the 1300s in Europe were not living like Americans on the frontier in the 1700s and 1800s. They were not making all of their own goods and raising all of their own food. There were people who were specialists and had certain trades. Here's an example. In a given town, there might be one blacksmith shop. There would be one blacksmith and some apprentices, which would usually be one or more of his sons. What happened to that town when the plague rolled in and killed the blacksmith's family? Nobody else in the town knew that particular trade. Maybe the next nearest blacksmith was 50 or 100 miles away at a time when that was a great distance because most people were traveling by foot. Imagine if you lived in an isolated town in Europe and all of the carpenters, stonemasons, weavers, shoemakers, roofers were suddenly dead. Would you know how to do those jobs if you had to? With less people available, you could not have so many people specializing in a particular skill or trade. Economies function better and grow when people don't have to take care of all of life's necessities for themselves. It's a lot easier to specialize in being a banker, lawyer, mechanic, house painter, whatever, and get very good at your particular craft, and then simply purchase the items or services you need from others. A lot of this economic specialization was greatly reduced until the population could recover in medieval Europe. And this also affected the agrarian economy. With less people available to do the farming, the wealthy landowners suddenly had to compete with each other to acquire enough people to grow and harvest their crops. Suddenly, the peasants could offer their services to the highest bidder. With the higher wages, some of these people were able to buy their own land and become independent farmers. Another factor which helped them buy their own land was because of all of the suddenly available land which had been owned by families who were simply wiped out by the Black Death. The immediate economic effects of the Black Death included the rise of wages, but also included a breakdown in markets and economic activity. Crops went unharvested because there were not enough people available to do the farm work. Building projects ceased for the same reason. Although workers' wages increased, there was also extreme inflation because of the breakdown in trade and the scarcity of food and other necessary items. 800 years before the Black Death, a similar pandemic ravaged Europe. It is known as the Plague of Justinian. Who was Justinian and why is the plague named after him? Here are the essential points for the political status of Europe in the 500s CE. Administratively, the Roman Empire had been divided up into the Western Empire, ruled from Rome, and the Eastern Empire, with its capital of Constantinople. That city is now known as Istanbul in the modern country of Turkey. In the late 400 CE, the Western Roman Empire fell to Germanic tribes, which the Romans called barbarians. But the Eastern Roman Empire continued to flourish until the 1400s. That's right, almost another 1,000 years. Today we call it the Byzantine Empire, although they never called it that themselves. They referred to themselves as Romans and their state as the Roman Empire. The term Byzantine Empire did not come about until about 100 years after the fall of that state to the Ottoman Turks. It was just a convenient term by later scholars to distinguish it from the Western Roman Empire. And if you're wondering why it was called the Byzantine Empire, it's because the capital city of Constantinople was built on the ancient Greek town of Byzantium. In the 500s CE, Justinian was the emperor of the Byzantines, meaning he ruled over the Eastern Roman Empire. And as I just explained, at that time, that was the only part of the Roman Empire still intact. Justinian wanted to conquer the western provinces and reconstitute the Roman Empire to its full glory. He was fairly successful and subjugated all of Italy, the North African provinces, and even the southern part of the Iberian Peninsula. One of the many reasons which stopped Justinian was the bubonic plague. The plague of Justinian is believed to have been the same as the Black Death, caused by the bacterium Yersinia pestis. The pandemic lasted from 541 until 549 CE. It's the first recorded major outbreak of a plague pandemic. Justinian himself became infected with the plague, but he survived. There are estimates that the plague of Justinian killed somewhere between 30 and 50 million people in Europe, Asia, North Africa, and the Middle East. We do not have good records from that time and only have educated guesses. But the pandemic during Justinian's reign killed somewhere around 40% of the people in the Byzantine Empire. Some historians argue that as a result of the catastrophic losses from the plague, Justinian and those who followed him did not have the manpower to reconquer and hold at least some of the provinces of the Western Roman Empire, and Western Europe was doomed to suffer through the Dark Ages. It's my opinion that Justinian could not have conquered any more of the lost Western provinces than he did. But it seems to me that the Byzantines might have been able to hold on to Italy if not for the devastating population losses from the plague. So maybe Italy might have been spared the Dark Ages, but who knows? It seems to me that certainly the rest of Western Europe would have suffered through the Dark Ages no matter what. And before I go on, I have to go off on a little tangent about that term. For some reason, it is now considered bad to use the term Dark Ages. You are only supposed to call that time period after the fall of the Western Roman Empire until around the year 1000, the early Middle Ages. So this doesn't count the time of the Black Death, which is considered the late Middle Ages. But it's bad to call that earlier time the Dark Ages. I think that's ridiculous. Number one, Who are we insulting? If we use the term Dark Ages, we might be insulting people who lived 1,500 years ago. Number two, more importantly, it's an accurate description. I feel very sorry for people who lived during the Dark Ages. Those five centuries or so were terrible. People's lives were horrific. Most people lived in squalor and ignorance. During the Dark Ages, there were extremely few people outside of monks and priests who were literate. I cannot list the life expectancy because every source I read has a wildly different estimate. Centuries before the Black Death, Europeans were dying in droves from common diseases, including influenza, dysentery, measles, and even leprosy. There were certainly a lot of terrible things going on during the Greco-Roman era, with slavery being the top of that list. But when we're talking about the early Middle Ages being dark compared to the Greco-Roman times, and then the modern era starting with the Renaissance, it's not even close. That time period, from the fall of the western half of the Roman Empire up until around the year 1000, was extremely dark. In Western Europe, after the collapse of the Roman Empire, most knowledge of engineering, science, medicine, geography, history, the arts, literature, all disappeared. Trade and commerce collapsed. It was an absolutely miserable time to be alive, and certainly can be called the Dark Ages. And in case you're wondering, how is it we know so much about the Roman Empire and all of their knowledge? It's because it was kept alive in the Byzantine Empire, which eventually that knowledge spread back to Western Europe during the Renaissance. Okay, let's get back to the Black Death of the 1300s. After the Black Death subsided around 1351 in Europe, the plague returned many times over the centuries. The subsequent outbreaks were never close to the level of the Black Death of 1347 to 1351, but the plague did return. According to the National Institutes of Health, the plague known as the Black Death, quote, returned periodically for nearly 500 years in Western Europe. Its last attack in Italy was at Neucatado, near Bari, in 1815, but it persisted longer in Eastern Europe and Russia. Its cycles, however, lengthened from a hit about every 10 years for any locale during the latter half of the 14th century to absences of 120 years or more for major cities, at least in Italy, by the 17th century. Despite repeated claims in textbooks, the Plague of Marseille in 1720 to 1721 was not this pandemic's European finale. In 1743, 48,000 people perished from the plague in Messina. In 1770 to 1771, over 100,000 in Moscow. And in the Balkans, Egypt, Asia Minor, and Russia, this Black Death type of contagious plague may have persisted as late as 1879. Close quote. Most of those returns of the plague were relatively minor, but there was a very bad outbreak in London in 1665 to 1666. The London epidemic is considered the worst outbreak of the plague since the Black Death of the mid-1300s. The estimated population of London at that time was approximately 350,000 people. It is estimated that over 100,000 people in London died from the plague in 1665 to 1666. That means close to 30% of the populace of London died in 2 years. And in case things were not bad enough in London at that time, the worst fire in the history of the English capital occurred in 1666. The fire started on September 2, 1666, and was not brought under control for 3 days. A large percentage of London burned down and had to be reconstructed after the Great Fire. Getting back to the plague, medical experts believe that there have been three major plague epidemics. The first was the plague of Justinian that I described earlier. The second was the Black Death, which devastated Europe in 1347 to 1351, but then returned periodically up until the 1800s. And, according to the National Institutes of Health, quote, the third pandemic began in the mid-19th century and crept slowly through the Yunnan Peninsula until it reached Hong Kong in 1894. From there, steamship commerce carried it across much of the world. However, except for China and India and a few other subtropical regions, its spread, unlike that of the other two pandemics, was limited in epidemic force to coastal cities, and even there, hardly penetrated beyond docklands. Instead of millions killed, as happened with the previous two pandemics, and as Europe feared at the beginning of the 20th century, death counts of this third pandemic in temperate zones rarely exceeded 100. Close quote. Bubonic plague may seem like history, but it still exists today. However, according to the CDC, today modern antibiotics are effective in treating plague. Without prompt treatment, the disease can cause serious illness or death. Presently, human plague infections continue to occur in rural areas in the western United States, but significantly more cases occur in parts of Africa and Asia. Hooray for Western medicine. Since I love history so much, people often ask me if I wish I lived in another time period. The answer is absolutely not. For one thing, I love my creature comforts. But the main reason is modern medicine. If I am ever so unfortunate as to contract bubonic plague, I am very happy that a modern doctor would give me antibiotics and not tell me to simply smell some nice flowers like the doctors of medieval Europe. I know this has been a very depressing episode, so let's try to end on a somewhat upbeat note. A lot of historians believe that the horrors of the Black Death contributed to the Renaissance. All of that death and suffering made some in Europe contemplate the meaning and goals of life. People started to question everything, including the political and social orders, as well as religious orthodoxy. Some turned to classical times of the Romans and Greeks to find answers. In short, these were the first steps of the Renaissance. That's it for today. Please subscribe to this podcast. Please like this and my other episodes. Ratings and likes greatly help with the algorithms that determine the placement of podcasts on particular apps. So if you're listening on a podcast app like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, which allow for ratings, I would greatly appreciate a 5-star rating. Some apps also allow for reviews, and I would also greatly appreciate a kind review. Please tell your friends, relatives, coworkers. Word of mouth is the best way to increase the audience for this podcast. Please check out my website, historyanalyze.com, where you will find links to my podcast episodes, as well as fun items for all history geeks. Thank you for listening. Catch you next episode.